to the Schools in Session podcast, a place where we talk about how you or your teenager can truly make a difference. I am your host, Chanel, and in this podcast, we dive deep into how you and your kids can educate themselves through the pandemic. We also talk about how to stay motivated and how to find a fulfilling career pathway for the future. This is the place where we bring you tons of value and content all at the click of a button. Our future belongs to the next generation who need our support and encouragement to create epic lives. This podcast is Next Level, a way to tap into your child's personal expression and creativity. I'm so excited to have you here, so let's get started. This is Schools in Session, the podcast. What is up? And welcome back to episode number number four of Schools in Session, the podcast. I'm your host, Chanel. And today we're still coming live from Canggu, Bali. Today we're going to talk about emptying your own cup so it can be filled. Now, one of the reasons I did come to Bali is to do this exact exercise, and that was to empty my own cup so it can be filled in the right way. And I think it's really crucial and really important we do a podcast on this, because it just goes to show you how doing something so simple can become so effective down the track and not detrimental to our teens. So, emptying your own cup so it can be filled. Are you a parent who's tired? You're frustrated, you're overworked, you're potentially overweight, you're under pressure. Are you one of those parents who, you know, you just can't wait for your teen to leave? You can't wait for them to grow up, start working for themselves, start earning their own money, start wanting their own flat and everything else because you just can't wait for them to get out of the house so you can have a break. Are you one of those parents? Not that you are going to admit it, because, you know, I do know that with that comes a certain guilt. You know, as a parent, you feel like it's your role and your due diligence to do everything and be everything for your team. And so a lot of parents say to themselves, you know, suck it up, buttercup. But are you one of those parents who are just, you know, like you're trying your best, but you don't feel like your best is enough? Welcome to the dark side of parenting. So this is why this podcast is so crucial. Now, before we get started into the how and the whys and the whats and all of that, I just want to touch on a point. I want everybody to know out there that these podcasts, these episodes, are not a direct dig at parents, teachers, caregivers, youth workers, whoever you are, whoever's listening. They are not a dig at about how crap we've been, basically. You know, nobody is that. We're just here learning and growing and acknowledging the cycle of revolution and what we need to do to help and support our teens so that they can succeed in what we now call the modern day world. You know, this modern day world came to us faster than ever. So please just take that in. I really want you just to let that sink in for a couple of minutes before we get in to it, because, you know, a lot of the content and a lot of the stuff that is on this podcast is a lot of perception change and a lot of correction. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. So let's get into it. Emptying your own cup so it can be filled. So as I mentioned, I think this is very crucial, and I actually came up with this idea when I was talking to my grandmother. So my grandmother, my nana, which is my dad's mum, we were really talking about parents in the workforce and, you know, teens coming up and how hard it is at the moment after the COVID and through the pandemic, how hard it was to keep, maintain a job, get a job, all those sorts of things. And we were sitting down having a cup of coffee and she brought up a really good point. My nana is 83 years old. 83? Oh God, I hope I got that right. She's 83 years old. And she was an amazing mother. She's an amazing grandmother. I'm so grateful to have her. But she was really talking about how back in her day, the woman going to work or the female going to work wasn't a thing. And she said, you know, back in the day, people had the ability to just focus on being a mother. And how we are such in a huge generational shift that back in the day, you know, male would go to work, the female would stay at home, raise the kids, do the housework, cook, clean, bake, and have that little time out to themselves where that was their main focus. You know, that was a job in itself. Over time, as we go through, we've gone through this big generational shift, you know, almost like this paradigm shift where inflation, you know, started going higher. Things started getting more expensive, which required the female to go to work. And as over time, that female in that female role being at home has had to now come out and start working, which has meant that kids now need to go to daycare, which means that they now need more money, which means things like baking isn't necessarily a thing. You know, the female has to adopt and take on more responsibility. Not only do they have to work 8, 9, 10 hours a day, but they have to sort out the kids. You know, between the two parents, they have to cook, clean, bake, make sure everything's good for the next day. You know, it's a huge job in itself and a huge paradigm shift that none of us were prepared for. And so, you know, nobody tells you this is what's coming up, so you need to start preparing for it. It just started to happen. And over time, since my nana's era and my era, and I'm now 31, we are still finding that unless you are a business worker, you own your own business, or you're in the top six to seven figure salaries, where you can afford to stay home, or you can afford to take less hours and hire daycare and nanny and all that sort of stuff, you are flat tack as parents. You know, and this discussion with my grandmother, you know, my nana, I felt like was so crucial and so important, because she is right. Our times have drastically changed, and that has only been within two generations. So my nana, she was at home, you know, with the kids and things like that. Our story, I think, was a little bit different. My grandfather was sick, so she did have to go to work early on, but a lot of, you know, the people in that generation, they were able to stay home. They were able to have one person go to work, one person stay home. So that's my nana's generation, my grandparents. Then we've got my mum and my dad's generation, who know straight away they both had to go to work. And now we've got my generation, where we definitely have to go to work, and we're very, very lucky if we can afford daycare and running the household and everything else that comes in between, because inflation after the pandemic has skyrocketed, having to work more hours than ever. And so we weren't prepared. And that brings me to a video that I seen, I researched not so long ago, actually, and it was Oprah Winfrey. And I actually will put the video down in the bio. And I think when I watched this video, it really made me think around the context of what we're talking about today. And this video is called, you know, Why We Should Fill Our Own Cup. And Oprah Winfrey, if any of you have seen her shows, probably 99.9% of people have. She has an audience, she has a live audience, and a lot of the time she has spiritual leaders, gurus, doctors, everything on there to share different perspectives in order to enlighten the audience. And at this particular one, she had a whole lot of mothers, a whole lot of parents, you know, and also I think there was a couple of psychologists in the crowd and on stage as well. Oprah Winfrey, I love Oprah Winfrey because I'm definitely for getting a different perspective on anything, everything. So she talks about filling your own cup. And the first thing, you know, I'm not too sure what the lady's name who was on stage with her was called. So the lady on stage with her basically said to the crowd, how many people in the audience would have loved a mother who took so much care of herself that she felt great all the time? Put your hands up. And I sat with that statement, and it made me really think about my mother, and everyone in the audience put their hand up. And Oprah goes to say, of course, everyone put their hands up. And then she says, hands up if you were brought up with mothers who were worn out all the time, didn't have the time for you because they didn't have balance, and they were angry, they were resentful. You know, they were just trying to get through. Hands up who had a mother like that. And the whole audience put their hands up. And watching this video, it made me feel really sad because probably as a teen, you don't notice that as a teen. You don't look at that, you know, unless you're extraordinary and being, you know, studying perspective changes, you know, for the last 13 to 18 years, you know. I doubt it. But anyway, it made me really sad because that parental caregiver who is at home, whether you are male or female or whatever you identify with, we all know somebody who was worn out trying to be a parent. You know, they were self-sacrificing. They were just trying to get through. And if we look at that and we really reflect on that, a parent's job is to give. You know, they give a lot. So when we are giving, we are effectively depleting our energy stores, you know? But as a parent, a lot of us, we don't have that boundary. So we give and we give and we give. But the issue is we keep going. What happens when we keep going? We start to become frustrated and we start to become tired. And that's why everyone put their hands up in the audience. We're now tired and we're now frustrated. But then our teen or our children or our partner, they want more. They want more. Our boss wants more because remember, we're now in the workforce. So we give and we give because we feel like that's our responsibility and our role as a parent. So we give, and the more we give, the less we have. Now, a lot of people already know that saying, the more you give, the less you have. That's why you need to fill up your own cup. But now let's take this into bigger context, into a bigger picture. What happens when we give from a place of tiredness, frustration, and nothing? That place where you feel like as a parent, you don't have anything else left and you just want to snap. You want to snap because your teen won't get off their butt and do the dishes. You want to snap because your teen wants to be dropped somewhere. What is the bigger picture to that? That consistent nagging and that consistent asking, and you only want to be the best parent you can be, so you say yes, it turns into resentment. Your teen isn't asking for anything they haven't asked for in the past, but it's just you don't have the capacity to hold it. So that tiredness, that frustration, and that nothing that you have inside of you turns into resentment. Resentment for those teens or that partner that keeps wanting from you, you know, who keeps asking, what's for dinner? Drop me here. Can I have some money? I need new shoes. It's consistent. It doesn't stop. Resentment manifests as guilt. And with guilt comes obligation. So basically what's happened is on the inner side of yourself, you have drawn the line, your body has gone into survival mode, and you can no longer see the feeling and emotion of love, that unconditional, wholehearted love that you have for your teen or your partner. You don't have that. You can't see that anymore because you're tired, because you have nothing else to give. So that love that you deep down have inside of you for that teen or for your child, it no longer comes from an authentic place. Your body's just gone, boom, don't touch me, stay away from me, don't pressure me, don't talk to me, I have nothing left. And here we have the resentment, guilt, and obligation because you still feel like you have responsibility and a role to do. You don't feel like you can stop. So the message we're now sending when we don't have that, you know, that giving isn't coming from a wholeheartedly loving, authentic place, we are now sending to our teen, I am the parent. You are obligated to do what I say when I say it. And then if we take that a step further, it goes, don't backchat me, argue, or think that you have a say right now because I don't want to hear it. How many of us have heard that? I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me like that. I'm the adult. You're the teen. How many times have we heard that? I know I've heard it multiple times when I was a teen. And I think that if I understood what my parents were going through at that time, I probably would have had a little bit more empathy. But at the same time, I'm a teenager. So I had no idea, you know. And just like that, with those words, I am the adult, you're the teenager, don't backchat me, you have shut down your teen's freedom of speech, thought process, everything, because you're tired. And it all became, or it all came from because you were tired, you know. And if we take this again one step further, and this is the last step, I promise, if we take this one step further again, that guilt tripping and that resentment and that anger and that shutting down that you have, it causes self-doubt in our teens. You know, this later on could lead to trouble setting boundaries, self-doubt around relationships, friendships, career, you know, all those times in life where we need to make decisions. That's what it causes and manifests in our teen is self-doubt and issues with setting boundaries. You know, whereas on the flip side, we need to empower our teens. The period of being a teenager, they need to be inspired, motivated, and we need to give them what they need so that they feel like they can take action. But in this moment, we have effectively done the opposite. It's a massive misconception we are currently seeing through all the generations to date, all because we weren't ready for the paradigm shift. We weren't ready for the generational shift. It came very, very fast. And it came very, very fast alongside the COVID pandemic. So the next thing is how do we as parents, teachers, and role models make this journey easier on ourselves? How do we not do this? You know, no one purposely goes out and wants to make a mistake, right? Or wants to have a bad or a negative effect on somebody. So how do we not be a part of the cause of our teen's self-doubt? How many times have you said to yourself, I don't want to be tired anymore? You're already a parent. You can't take that back. You didn't mean for, you know, you to be in that position. So what now? And this is where we go is everyone has heard the saying, fill your own cup first. You know, just like when you jump on a plane and they say, put your own oxygen mask on first before you put your toddler's or the person next to you's mask on. But how do we do that? How do we instinctively and actively do that when our schedules are full, our mind is buzzing, and we're already running 100 miles an hour every day? Because that's what it's like after the pandemic. I know. Parents are run ragged. Teachers are run ragged. Youth workers, everybody is just trying to do the best they can. So how do we do that when we're already full, but we're full of not necessarily the right stuff? How do we do that? So this is where we come to emptying your own cup so it can be filled. And Bruce Lee is the martial arts instructor, world famous. He said it amazing. Empty your own cup so it can be filled. As a parent, you are always outpouring. Give, 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 give. As a parent at the age of, 30, 40, 50, however old you are, 20, we are so full of information of hows, whys, whats. We have 40 years of information or 50 years of information of different material being projected at us that what we have, learned 10 years ago now isn't relevant and that we need to change. And a lot of parents have put their walls up and they've just said, I can't do it anymore. Especially after the pandemic, they're like, I'm out. I don't know. I'm just going to get by each day. Like, that is all I want to do. But you don't need to just get by each day. Emptying your own cup is allowing yourself to change your perspective on what isn't working and slowly release those unhealthy, outdated patterns so you are able to gain new ones. And what it means to empty your own cup is to allow yourself to understand and be in a cycle of growth and acknowledge what is okay and what is not. What do I need to unlearn that has changed and adapted? And what do I need to hold on to that doesn't serve my family unit anymore? What does not serve me anymore? What does not serve my teen anymore? You know, by doing this, we are creating the space for what is more relevant and pleasurable to fit in. Now, the first thing to this is identifying what doesn't work for you, what does not serve you anymore. So, for example, this is a big one for me, actually, and I've actually just unlearned this to relearn healthier habits around it, is the question I ask myself is, am I a workaholic? Yes, Chanel, you 100% are a workaholic. I have been taught that only hard workers survive and get noticed and recognized. I have taken every overtime shift I've been offered. Within reason, I have taken every hour worked you need to get in there and do your best every single hour. I have cut lunch breaks. I have cut morning teas. I have worked late on multiple occasions for free. I have missed gym sessions. I have traded work for hanging out with friends. I'm definitely a workaholic. Because I don't like letting the company down and I don't want to experience the potential consequences of that. So basically, I have been taught that to feel and to have meaning in life is to work hard. That is who you are. So now this is the change that I've had to develop over time. By being a workaholic, who am I really letting down, Chanel? I'm tired, I'm angry, I'm overworked, I'm under pressure. I started getting my hair dyed at the age of 18, 19, and it's continued right now until I'm 31 because I already have gray hairs, and we could put that down to a little bit of genetics, but come on now, stress. I'm overweight, you know? What happens if I turn down the overtime to allow somebody else to have it? What happens if I'm not the end of the line? What happens if there's somebody else? Maybe I don't have to be the it person all the time. You know, that was a huge working for me. Another example, and if we relate back to parents, so here we go again. Example is the need to cook and clean to a high standard. So all parents who are in that role of potentially the housemaker, you know, every family unit's different. Understand that, accept that, acknowledge that. But that person who's predominantly in that role of cooking and cleaning. Yes, once upon a time, society made it that way, that the mother or the person at home was allowed to stay home. And their role was to cook, clean, and everyone should leave everything for me to do because I do that. Like that is my job throughout the day. Put your washing in the washing basket. I'll do it. Come home for morning tea. You'll have fresh cookies baked. Don't worry, you'll have your shirt pressed for tomorrow morning's meeting. You know, that person at home thought that cooking, cleaning, and ironing, and gardening, and mowing lawns, and everything else was just their responsibility, and nobody else touch it because that is my role. That is what I do. Now, the change, the perspective change that we need to have here, if we look at the change, times have changed, as we mentioned earlier. Both parents are now working. So, did we actively split that role of being the homemaker in half to even it out on an even workload? Did we do that? So times have changed, and I am required to work to ensure there is enough income coming in. So does that mean that I can share this load or make this easier? It doesn't make me a bad parent in acknowledging that I just can't do everything. It means that I am a smart parent by getting help. By getting help, my teens eat better because I'm not just picking up McDonald's on the way home. They're eating satiated food. They're always full. They're getting their meat, their veggies, their calcium, all the nutrients and vitamins that they need. But they also learn that not everything is done for you in life, that you need to eat healthy to sustain yourself, that it's okay to share the workload. And they learn this as they grow up and take it into adult life. One more example of parents at the moment, and I see this everywhere I go and the families I deal with and the youth that I currently coach, is their parents are saying, my life is over. You know, how many parents do we know where they go, they shrug their shoulders and they go, oh, my life is over and everything I do and everything I have can just go to my teens. Like, that's all I'm working for now, because that is what a parent is. I sacrifice, and that is my role. Whew. Just there is a heavy statement alone. And if you're one of these parents, please listen to this podcast and let me know what you think, because I would love for you to get a perspective change on this. So the change around this, and this is just one of the changes, right? I must be the best version of myself to support my team. My life isn't over, but I'm there to support my team as the best version of myself. I choose to hold space and be there for my child now for as long as I can, because my relationship with them means so much to them. Knowing they have an ear, they have guidance, they have support. But in order to be that person, I need to be the best version of myself. And that requires me filling up my cup and having parental boundaries. My life isn't over because I became a parent. It just started in a different chapter. And what happens with chapters is chapters, they come and they go and they end. And your teen will one day move out and they will start their own life. That chapter of you raising them as a teenager will end and the new chapter will begin. So those are just some examples of, I suppose, perspective shifts that we really need to think about. There are only a couple. So, you know, you could come up with totally different ones that relate to you. But what are those key fundamental thought patterns that you're holding on to, those things that are holding you back, those things that aren't necessarily relevant anymore in this new era that you can unlearn? We need to identify what is not relevant anymore so we can create space in the brain to find clarity and fill that with joy, happiness by learning something new. So when we actively identify those patterns, it's about changing our perspective on those, and that might take a little time. Change your perspective. Have those hard conversations with your partner or your teen about pulling their weight or what they need to do or what you're, you know, what you need. That is so you can step into the new. What do you need that's going to allow you to empty your cup so that you can make space for other things? So once we've identified those patterns that no longer serve us, and this is going to take, you know, I've been in Bali for 3 weeks now, and I've learned so much, I've unlearned so much, but I know that this time next year, I'm still going to have things I'm going to unlearn. It's a process. It takes time, and you're not going to identify them all at once. If you can identify one right now that you can unlearn and change your perspective on and have that perspective shift, you're doing amazing. So once we have found that space, even if it's a little bit of space, once we have found that space and that clarity and we don't feel so overwhelmed and full, it is then that we can start filling up our own cup. So we have emptied our cup and now we're going to fill up our own cup. So what does it mean to fill up your own cup? And I do have another video. I'm going to post it in the bio, even on Instagram. There's a lot of videos circling around out there like this. So this is just one of them. You don't have to go off it, but I think it's a really good example of what it means to fill your own cup. Now, there's a valuable lesson in this is just because you've filled your own cup up once doesn't mean it's going to stay full. So filling your own cup takes time. It takes practice. It takes consistent action each and every single day. The other day, I got a message from a very good friend, and she said to me, "Chanel, I love your energy. You're always positive and you're always happy." And I really felt like sending a message back and saying, well, false, because I'm not always positive. I'm not always happy. But you do see me that way because each and every single morning, I do what I need to do to fill my own cup, raise my energy, remain positive, and I keep actively that thought conscious in the back of my mind. Because I don't want to be unhappy. I want to live a life of happiness. So I actively work on filling my own cup each and every single day. And there'll be days where I have to do this more than others. There'll be days where I have to remind myself. So if you get a chance, click on the video on the link in the bio. It's by Mia Kay, and it's called A Valuable Lesson for a Happier Life. And long story short, there's a professor who teaches Philosophy 101, walks into a classroom full of students and puts an old washed out mayo jar on the desk. And he says, it's empty, by the way. He says, we all have this one life to live. We have the ability to accomplish everything if we use our time wisely. And he goes into his suitcase or his bag and he gets out a whole lot of golf balls. And he starts putting the golf balls in the jar, and the golf balls reach to the top of the jar. And he says to the students, is the jar full? And the students say yes. And he smiles and he goes back into his bag and he grabs out these little pebbles. And he pours this cup of little pebbles on top of the golf balls into the jar, you know, so the pebbles go through the cracks. And he says, is the jar full now? And they say, well, yeah, it's full to the top. And he goes back into his bag and then he gets out a cup of sand. And he starts pouring the sand in this jar. And the sand, again, goes through the cracks, fills up the jar. And he says to the students, is the jar full now? And they say, yes, it's definitely full. And he goes into his suitcase and he grabs out two beers, two Coronas. He pops the top off one, starts pouring the beer into the jar, and obviously the sand starts absorbing some of the beer, but the beer goes throughout the jar and falls right up to the top until the foam reaches the top of the jar. So once he's put the beer in the jar, he then goes to say, life is like this jar. The golf balls, they represent your family. You know, your family, yeah, the important things in life. The little pebbles, they refer to your car, your job, your home. The sand is all the small stuff, you know, the going out, having a coffee, all that sort of stuff. And the beer, well, that's just the added extra on top. Then he goes to say, taking care of the things that are critical to your happiness is important. If you put the sand in first, you won't have room for anything else. The golf balls, your family, your car, your job. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you won't have time for the things that really do fill your cup up. And we could think about this another way too. If you don't find the balance between what is important and what makes up the balance, and making those things a priority, your cup won't be full. Fill it with the things you love, the things that make you happy. But you've got to fill the jar up completely. Now, the golf balls aren't going to fill up the jar completely. Just family and being a parent and being of service to your teenager is not going to fill your jar up completely. Just being at work and your family is not going to fill your jar up completely. You've got to have the small stuff as well. You've got to have the big stuff. You've got to have the small stuff. You've got to have the catching up with friends. You've got to have the self-love dates. You've got to have the face masks and the going to cricket on a Sunday or whatever. Whoever is listening, whatever lights you up, you've got to have that stuff too. You just can't have one or the other to fill your cup up. These are the elements of what make you full and happy. Now, if we have a cup that is full of all the goodness, you know, family, car, job, beaches, dogs, motorbikes, friend catch-ups, if we have all of that and we are happy and we are balanced, that feeling is then projected onto our teens. And guess what that feeling is? That feeling is unconditional, authentic love. We are no longer in survival mode. We are being authentic and show love. Self-discovery, happy, rewarding, celebration. You are seen, you show up. You can see your teen, you can see your partner, they can see you for who you are. You have more to give. You are projecting happiness. You have more to give now, but you need to keep filling your cup up. So in return, and I'll probably say this in every podcast, but by doing the do, by filling your cup up, we are also teaching our teens to fill their cup up because we lead by experience and by example. We can teach our teens' priorities and what the future looks like for them going forward by filling up their own cup. We can provide them with a way to have balance when they go off on their next adventure, whether that be their career or family or traveling, whatever that may be. If we don't have that balance, we are not full. Not being full projects guilt, resentment, obligation, and all the things that we don't want. So I think that's probably, we've probably reached our time, but I hope that you have kind of got a bit of perspective shift on how we as parents, teachers and youth workers, if we just make that little shift within inside ourselves, if we choose to be good role models and take the hit and draw the line in the sand and be those people of change and step up to be those people of change, what doing something so little and how it can just project as something so big for the future for our teens can do. I really hope that you've gotten, you know, something from this podcast today. So I'll definitely put those links in the bio on Instagram. If you've got any questions or would love to, you know, leave us a comment and let us know what you thought. Again, we're only on episode 4, but I love having you here. I'm still actually learning myself how to, you know, teach and inspire over the form of a podcast. And it's great to be with you guys. So until next time, I hope you have a great week and we'll be back next week with another episode. Over and out. Thank you so much for listening to the Skills in Session podcast. Please, if you like what you heard, do not forget to subscribe. Until next time.